Are you the Quantum Mechanics?
Yes, we're the Quantum Mechanics. We're the paranormal podcast for the believers, the doubters, and everyone in between. Feels like spring has sprung, Ben, this week when we're recording. It's all bright and breezy and little flowers are poking their head up and all that kind of stuff. I'm loving it.
I'm getting ready to put my clocks back. Forward, forward, back.
I always get confused.
It's back, isn't it? Yes, yeah, yeah. More sleep. Spring. Spring forward, fall back.
That sounds about right.
Spring forward. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. So, wait. Do we lose sleep? I'm confused. Do we lose sleep or gain sleep? We lose sleep, don't we?
Please don't take this as a public service announcement. Please remember to put your clocks back or forward, or don't do anything at all with them, depending on what time of year it is.
This is how I lost my job at the speaking clock. The time will be whatever it was, plus 5 seconds. Yeah, no, it is much nicer, though, and it does make me feel a bit happier. I will say to everyone listening, I'm not quite on it today because I have got toothache and I don't know quite what it is. I bit something yesterday and I'm on some strong painkillers. You know what toothache is like, right? It's horrible.
It's the worst, isn't it?
And I'm just feeling a bit on the old, had a sore mouth all night and speaking to you from behind some codeine and paracetamol. So if I'm not my normal hilarious self, I do apologise.
It's all right. I haven't got an excuse, but if I'm not my hilarious self, there's no excuse whatsoever.
Hilarity will ensue again next week, I'm sure.
Yeah. What have we got, though, today?
It's a light-hearted topic inspired by a house just down the road from me.
Okay.
Is sort of reinvigorating their garden for aforementioned spring.
Yeah.
And they put a gnome in it.
Ah.
And okay. I thought, I wonder if anyone's actually seen a real gnome.
So are the gnomes that we have in our garden as well, are they inspired by some mythical paranormal creature, or is that just a coincidence?
Well, no, they come from fairy lore.
Right.
And in fact, in the fairy database on paranormaldatabase.com, they feature in there.
Okay.
So, and we spoke about them at Christmas, actually, but we'll sort of come on to that, because I just thought, you know, I like to start off in Reddit.
Yeah.
And I found a thread. Yes, I've seen a gnome. Uh-huh. And the author says it's something that probably doesn't get spoken of much, and I might get banned when people think I'm a troll. You're mixing your paranormal animals there.
See what they did there.
Yes. But he said, yes, I've seen it multiple times and talked about it to my friend group. None of them believe me, except for some guy who says he's seen a Sasquatch. So, I know. In reply, somebody else said, yeah, I saw a gnome once too. I was a teenager and I woke up late. I'd been working on an assignment. So I was a bit sleep deprived and exhausted. But just getting ready for bed, I saw two gnomes run past the door in my dark hallway. They had pointy hats and maybe were about 2 feet tall. I didn't tell anyone and brushed it off as being just me being exhausted. But I did wonder if anyone else had seen it, or indeed if anyone else had ever seen them. And I live in rural Tennessee.
Wow.
I delved in to, because I didn't want to just do fairy lore. I just wanted to find out very, very specifically gnome lore,
yeah,
and see what people said. So just to define them, pointed hats, long white beards, about 2 foot tall. You know what they're dressed in, right? You get the idea of the clothing. It's sort of like they've got usually got a jacket on. They've got quite brightly coloured trousers, sometimes a brightly coloured shirt, maybe even a jerkin.
What's a jerkin?
That sounds like a joke, doesn't it? What's a jerkin? Well, today I mean trousers. A jerkin, like a leather waistcoaty type of thing.
To put their fishing rod.
Yes, exactly. They are often depicted in this country as having a fishing rod, aren't they? Yes, I'd forgotten about that.
At some point, it feels like, because we've covered fairy folk a fair bit on the podcast, it feels like you need some poster that tells you the different types of genres of fairy folk, because I get really confused with the whole thing.
My first fairy spotter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Maybe that's some merch we can do. A fairy one, we could do a cryptozoological one. Be quite a nice idea, that.
Well, these seem very similar to the ones we were discussing at Christmas, because in the folklore of Finland, they're known as tomtors. or Tom Tays, and solitary, mischievous domestic spirits who protect the farmsteads and families, animals, where they're living. And the folklore says they originated from the soul of the first farmer, which is very interesting. And if you offend your Tom Tay, he may play some tricks on you. So you remember when I said about on Christmas Eve, you've got to leave out the Tom Tay porridge.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, with a generous... They do all kinds of stuff, don't they?
That's right, yeah. So these ones aren't quite as evil. Like, one of the things they do is they'll tie your cow's tails together. Right. But you've got to give them a generous blob of butter in their porridge, otherwise they get very upset.
Okay, so they're porridge eaters as well.
They are porridge eaters. That sounds like a derogatory term. Yeah. I've just had some porridge, actually. And I didn't have any butter on it, though, because I think that would be wrong. I had maple syrup.
And you're not wearing a leather, what did you call it?
A jerkin.
You're not wearing a jerkin, I can vouch for that.
I'm definitely not wearing a jerkin. But they all sound really sweet and nice, don't they? Tying tails together isn't too bad. Maybe a little bit like the tale of when we were talking about the gremlins, when they make the milk go sour, that sort of thing.
Yeah, mischievous rather than vindictive.
That's right, yes. But sometimes that isn't the case. And things can go really quite badly wrong. So I found both of these accounts written about all over the place. And in fact, the second one I'm going to do has got a book which I can reference back to, which it was used on. But both of these tales, I found they were previously told by MU and other podcasters, but they are just so gobsmacking that I had to cover them here, because every tale of real life gnome encounters really comes back to these sort of two instances, or rather not specific instances, but two. One is set in a particular location in the US, and one is definitely an instance in the UK, and both are kind of crazy.
Are they both outside? Because that's what stuck me about your one from Reddit. You don't think of gnomes being inside the house, but maybe that's because we're so used to seeing the plastic and porcelain ones in gardens, maybe.
So the first one, it's sort of outside. You'll see what I mean when I get into it. But it is in America. This first case involves a lady called Tammy, who moves herself and her three children into a country house near the Tula River in Porterville, California. She had no idea what was waiting for her. One spot on the farm that she moved into really put her on edge. She says she just couldn't put her finger on why. It's the sort of place that you would say would be, perhaps you'd say it was haunted. She came up with other mythology around it. Maybe something bad had happened in there. But it was the barn. But the family animals, the dogs, cat, turkey, chickens, ducks, they all avoided this rickety dark building.
Right.
And she also says, we had a lot more chickens and ducks, but they started disappearing. I also noticed that none of the neighbours' animals, or stray animals for that matter, would go anywhere near that barn. It was without a doubt just creepy.
Right.
One evening, Tammy's son, who was about 7 years old at the time, just come back from grocery shopping with his mum. We parked and got out of the car, and she says, I was just opening the back to get out the groceries when I noticed a movement out of the corner of my right eye. As she lifted a grocery bag from the car, she saw the movement again. This time, I heard a very freaky, very evil-sounding chuckle, she said. I looked in the direction of the sound, and there, about 50 yards from my son, was what I could only describe as a gnome. The creature was about 2 to 3 feet tall. He wore baggy black pants. This is America, so trousers for those of us listening in English.
Yeah.
And a gold-coloured shirt. A salt and pepper beard ran from beneath a red pointed hat. And that thing just grinned at us. And the creepy grin spread from ear to ear. And its teeth were a gross brown and sort of pointed. It had a bulbous nose and large, deep-set eyes.
I'm thinking I wonder if gnomes in California come there and do a bit of gnoming while they're waiting for their big break.
Yeah. He's kind of like,
it was the gold kind of thing
auditions
that made me think he's definitely after some attention.
I know. It's quite a gregarious outfit for a gnome, isn't it?
Got to get noticed in Tinseltown.
Well, you see, this thing, it definitely gets itself noticed, but not in the way that you think. So she says she never saw it again. But until the day she moved, she heard the gnome's creepy chuckle coming from this old barn.
Well, that'd be weird, wouldn't it?
But that wasn't the end of it. Tammy's family had gone, but that gnome wasn't done with terrorising whoever was in that house. Later, moving in, Charlie, her husband, so Charlie's a girl, a woman, their two-year-old twin girls and a golden Labrador moved into the two-storey house by the river in March 2010.
So this is another family, is it?
They're moving it, yeah. So the author that wrote this piece initially didn't realise it was the same house, but he gets the two couples to meet and they confirm it was the same house.
Okay.
So I've sort of forwarded in time and retro-fitted this story so we know that it is. She began, this is Charlie, to notice that none of the animals or the wildlife or stray cats would go near this barn again. And she said one day she heard a fight coming from inside. It sounded like a cat was inside, fighting with something way bigger than it was. So her husband goes in with a torch, and as he goes through the door, the noise stops. He went in, looked around, and unfortunately there was a cat. Now, on this podcast, we don't do dead pets, but unfortunately this cat is no longer with us.
Right.
And is in some state of consumption that, you know, something's been eating it.
Right.
He stepped outside the shack, or the shed, or the barn, it keeps changing its description of the story, to catch his breath. And when he looks back, the cat is gone. And he says, there's no way this cat could have moved. I was standing right there. Nobody came in or out of this barn. But unfortunately, that cat was very much dead when I saw it. So what happened? So he doesn't know. And he just leaves it. And this is really upsetting.
So he didn't see the gnome. He just saw the gnome's victim.
He sees the gnome's victim. And, of course, his wife is sort of terrified. They don't tell the children. They worry for their animals, very specifically their dog. And, of course, they have to explain why the cat's gone missing. It's all very upsetting.
You would just assume it was some kind of wild, vicious animal that could do all kinds of damage, couldn't it?
And that is their first assumption. And, you know, I don't know if coyotes live around there, but they do say, you know, maybe it's a wild animal.
Yeah.
But one night, around 3 a.m, a rasping, gurgling singing woke Charlie and her husband. And it was without a doubt the most hideous sound I have ever heard, she said. Now, she says this without ever hearing me doing Winds of Change at karaoke. Because that is the single most hideous sound I've ever heard when I've heard it back played to myself. Yeah. However, this freaked us out. Not my singing. The singing of whatever this was, and I think you know what it is.
Yeah.
Charlie and her husband looked out of the bedroom window and saw something that challenged their sanity. Standing by my pond, holding one of my garden gnomes, so holding a statue
of a gnome,
was what I can only describe as something out of a grim fairy tale. The thing that was standing in our yard was hideous and grotesque, but undeniably a gnome. So it's a human-like being. It stood under the bright light of their motion detector, 2 to 3 feet long, exactly the same description as before. This time it's got a baggy yellow shirt, a brown vest, dark waistcoat, or jerkin, as I like to call it, and this reddish-brown pointed hat. The thing that made this creature really hideous was its eyes and its teeth, she said. It looked like it was grinning and its teeth were pointed, so same description as before. The eyes were beady, dark and mean. As the creature stared at Charlie and her husband, it reached into the pond and grabbed a koi, dropped the fish into its mouth and swallowed. Like a pelican.
That sounds very Gollum, Lords of the Rings as well.
Isn't it? Yeah.
So they've got not real gnomes in their backyard, and this thing was real gnome, had the fake gnome. What was it, serenading it or something?
This is the thing. They don't know. It's almost like it's teasing them, or it's like taking the mickey.
Or a gnome on heat.
Well, yeah, but it's obviously angry. Right, because what they decide to do, well, I don't know what you would do, they decide to open the window and scream at it, telling them to go away, or they'll phone the police.
Put that gnome down!
That's exactly what they do. The gnome grinned, laughed, and gives them the bird.
No.
Yep. Yep. So
that's brilliant. Not the carp, but the bird.
They give it the bird.
Oh, that's brilliant. The police, what an image.
I know. It's like something out of, it's almost like it's like a gremlin from Gremlins.
Yeah.
They told the police that they'd had an intruder, but the officers looking around the yard found, well, can you guess what they found? Shoe prints the size of a small child.
No.
Yes. The gnome brilliant. Came back night after night, holding a yard ornament and eating their fish. Eventually, they moved the ornaments and the fish into a tank in the house. I assume the ornaments were different to the tank.
Yeah.
And this just annoys the gnome. Yeah. Right, so one night after they've done this, the creature shows up at 3 a.m., and basically starts just going crazy in the yard. He's looking around, and Benny can't find anything to eat. He's just yelling and screaming. And they said they understood that this thing was really peed off, and it wanted them to know it. This is much more terrifying than the original inhabitants.
And I'm assuming, if this was happening night after night, I assume they didn't... Did they video any of this or take any photos?
No, sadly not. In the end, they just couldn't take it anymore because this thing was coming back night after night. It was rattling windows. It was shouting. Mm-hmm. Nothing that they could discern. But they've got small children and they just couldn't risk it. So they decided to leave. And they said the last they heard of that creature was it making this large sort of screeching, cackling sound. And it was sitting under the living room window when her husband went to check where it was, and they saw the top of the hat right under the window, and that's when they were like, they just packed their stuff into their car and moved out.
I wonder in America, you know, you have to say when a house is haunted. I wonder if you have to say.
Yeah, I wonder if you have to say if it's got a gnome.
Gnome infestation.
Yeah. So the author of that piece did check up and see if anybody else had moved into that house. And what they found was that the house had remained empty. Mm-hmm. So it turns out other people had bought it, but nobody else moved back into
so
it.
So the gnome had got its own way.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
I'm thinking while you're talking about it, again, I'm back to my my poster with fairy folk. What's the difference between a gnome and a leprechaun then? Are they kind of similar or are they part of the same brood?
Well, they dress similarly, but I think the lore behind them is a little bit different.
Right.
Leprechauns, you know, they have their gold, their treasure.
Yeah.
And I don't think they go around eating koi carp whole.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, they could just be regional gnomes.
Right.
Maybe a leprechaun is a regional gnome.
Yeah.
So this author, who's got a rich vein of these stories, he sort of has a postscript to this one, which is about a slightly different family, but something similar that happens in a slightly different location. This is in Kansas. It's the Bortko family, and they've just moved in, and it's 1948. And this Dan is 9 months old. His family don't know it, but something already lives in this house. The house, which is a bungalow built on top of a hill in the 20s, is the only structure on that site. And like the last story, an old barn sits outside this two-bedroom house when the family move in.
Right.
In that house in 1952, so he's 4 or 5 years old, Dan sees something that haunted him ever since. He says, I'll call him a troll because that's what he reminded me of, but you will see later on, it is definitely a gnome.
Right.
So Dan, he sleeps in the same room as his two younger brothers. They're both in cribs. And one night, something wakes him up, and he looks around, realises he's the only one awake, until his eyes alight on, well, he said, it looked like an old man with a long beard, large nose, he's about 2 foot tall, standing at the foot of my bed. And I didn't know what to make of it. The little man wore German lederhosen and held a pipe in his hand, smoke rings rising from the bowl.
Brilliant.
The gnome stood looking at Dan. He smiled through his beard, winked and disappeared through the closet door. So
cheeky chappy.
Exactly.
I like the lederhosen touch. That's different to a, what is it, a thingy, or is that the same as
the lederhosen, the leather trousers?
Yeah, of course they are. Yeah, so So it could be a full-on leather thing if they've got the top half.
Yes.
Got maybe, a thing for leather, haven't they?
Maybe they just very much enjoy dressing in leather. 1970s camp outfits. Yeah. You know, maybe they are. There are no lady gnomes.
Yeah. There could be a gnome equivalent of the village people.
Yes, there could. I mean, I suppose, yes, the one with the fishing pole, you've got the fisherman.
Yeah, fisherman.
You've got the pipe smoker. Pipe smoker, fisherman, and like, nasty gnome.
Yeah, no, it's not going to work, is it? Scrap that idea. We're not putting a gnome version of the village people together. The village gnomes, the barn gnomes, we'd have to call them.
The barn gnomes.
Yeah.
Do you know, in the 70s, that would have made a TV series.
It pretty would.
Or we'd have been booked on Les Dawson's show. Yeah. I wasn't expecting so many of these gnome instances to happen in America.
Yeah.
And I think that's just because that particular author is American and had access to the source material. For the next and my favourite gnome encounter, we're coming back to the UK. And this has actually spawned a book which I have discovered. I tried to buy it, but then I found that you can get it for free from an academic source, and it is literally called the Woolerton Gnome Encounter. So truly, this is one of the strangest cases that I've ever come across. It's 1979, and we're in Woolerton Park. Now, if you don't know where that is, and I certainly didn't, although it is in England, it is known as, if you watch The Dark Knight Rises, it is the mansion in Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's beautiful, like, Google it. It's kind of what you would imagine for a British country grand manor to look like. And it's got huge grounds in it. It's got about 500 acres.
Yeah. I've got this vision now of a Batman gnome that you could put in your garden.
Oh, that'd be so good, wouldn't it? Bat gnome.
With a little Alfred as well. A little combination of the two would be really cool.
Now, look, this could be the merch spin-off that we've been looking for.
The merch spin-off we've been waiting for.
Yeah. I mean, we might have to pay some licensing, do you think?
Probably to Batman, I would have thought.
Well, to him personally, not.
No, that's DC, isn't it?
I think it's DC, yeah. We'll do a deal. I'm sure that I'll email them afterwards. But on October the 29th, there's a group of six school children, although that number is under some discussion. And they're called Angie, Glenn, Julie, Andrew, another one, Rosie. And there's another boy called Patrick. And they're all ranged in age from between 8 and 10. And they're out wandering around in the late afternoon hours. One of the reasons, well, the reason they're there is because there's a school trip. It sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? I was like, why are there random children
just
without their parents? They're on a school trip. This is why.
Health and safety. It was very health and safety. Back then.
As the sun began to dim, they realised that they soon had to get back on their way home. But, nevertheless, they had curiosity, came to a fenced-off area of murky, overgrown swampland near the lake. Now, this sounds like the sort of thing that would be on a public information film in the 70s.
Yeah.
Like, don't go in there, kids.
Yeah.
You're between 8 and 10.
Yeah.
And two of you are called Andrew. That's going to confuse things. It was close to the public, but being kids, they scale the fence, ignore the sign warning people to keep out, and sneak in and poke around. Upon entering, the children claimed that they would soon hear the chime of a bell, after which they had come across a group of dozens of tiny little men, about half their own height, so probably about 2 foot tall,
yeah,
who had deeply wrinkled faces, sported lush white beards with red tips. On their heads were strange little pointed caps, described as looking sort of like nightcaps with bobbles on the end. And their clothing was composed of yellow or green tights, blue shirts. Strangest of all, and this is the best bit, the children claimed the curious little men drove around in miniature bubble-like cars that had no steering wheels, bells instead of horns, and which produced no engine sound, yet sped around at high speed and could easily jump over and evade obstacles.
Wow.
I know. Like, these, they've got cars.
It's like Super Mario Kart.
So I was like, this is crazy,
nuts, right?
According to the children, there's about 30 of these mini vehicles and each of them has got two gnomes in. And they're laughing joyously and gleefully whizzing about, and even on occasion playfully chasing or making passes at the startling witnesses. So, like, this is, like, wow. It's like they're on a fairground ride.
That's so weird. Or they've come across the gnome equivalent of Formula One.
Yeah, oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's like a race, you know what I mean? It's like the big race of the year. That sounds great. I wonder how they steered them.
Well, this is the thing. They've got no steering wheel.
Yeah, so what, yeah.
The children claim that they'd spent 15 minutes watching these bizarre figures cavort and drive around before they finally left for home with the coming of night. So that's the children, not the gnomes.
Okay.
The entities were described as being very cheerful, playful, and not threatening or aggressive in the slightest. When the kids told the adults what they'd seen, no one would believe them. Of course they wouldn't.
Yeah.
But they adamantly insisted that they'd been real. So the headmaster went on to extensively question the kids on what they'd seen and came to the conclusion that they at least believed that they were telling the truth. He would later say in a recording he made of their conversations, "I think the tape reveals a wide measure of corroboration between the children, as well as the fluency in which they were able to describe the events. I remain sceptical as to the explanation of what they saw, but I'm also convinced that the children were describing a real occurrence."
Wow, that's so odd. What was going through my mind while you were telling the story was Noddy. Do you remember Noddy?
I do remember Noddy. This sounds like Noddy, doesn't it?
Noddy wasn't a gnome, but he's kind of gnome-like, isn't he? And he's got that's how I imagine the car. I know your description was a bit more bubbly than that, and I think Noddy's car had a steering wheel, but it's like when we did Sam the Sandown Clown and we kind of made a connection with Bowie and those kind of 70s glam rock artists.
Yes.
I wonder if, yeah, Noddy is an influence of this. It's unlikely, isn't it, that they saw a gnome race with a number of gnomes, but there must have been something that made them go down that direction.
They're not the only ones that saw them, though.
Really?
No.
On the same day or another time?
Well, no, but in the same space. So listen to this.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, this gets weirder.
The author says 6 years before the Woolerton fairies or gnomes were reported in the media, they had reportedly corresponded with this person called Marina Fry in Cornwall, who'd written to him giving him details of her own fairy sighting, so they're sort of interchanging the word there,
yeah,
when she was nearly 4 years old in around 1940. One night, her and her older sisters, all sleeping in the same bedroom, awoke to hear a buzzing noise. One of the sisters said that she heard music and bells, and looking out of the window was a tiny little man in a tiny red car driving around in circles. He was about 18 inches tall, had a white beard and a droopy pointed hat, and he's just going around gleefully laughing to himself. Hee hee, I'm driving around in circles.
Well, you would, wouldn't you?
And then he just drives off.
How bizarre.
Yeah.
So is that, sorry, was that in the same area?
That is in roughly the same area.
It's obviously a hotbed of gnome racing.
Yes.
Wow.
But another person, so the author and researcher and former secretary of the Nottingham-based Fairy Investigation Society, Marjorie Johnson, also confirmed to this author that there had been various other sightings of bubble car driving gnomes in the Woolerton Park area. So this is very specifically that space.
Right.
In particular, near the lake. And she actually wrote about them in her book, Seeing Fairies. One sighting was made by Mrs. C. George, who sighted the gnomes playing around by the park gates with their cars all parked up the side like they were in a car park.
That's so weird.
In another, Mrs. Brown claimed to have been guided around the park by what appeared to be gnomes in some sort of game where they would reward her with a feather at each checkpoint they reached. And yet another encounter, the witness claimed that she had seen gnomes roaming around the park who seemed eager to show her around the place. Interestingly, Johnson said her own sighting of the gnomes, she claimed she spied several tiny men about 3 feet high frolicking around dressed as policemen.
Really?
Yeah.
Which again is making me think of Noddy. Wasn't there a policeman in Noddy as well?
There was a policeman in Noddy, yes.
How bizarre.
Yes.
And I was thinking while you were, when you were talking about the cars, is there a world or is there a thought that the gnomes actually invented the car? Because they've either seen we've got them and copied it or they invented it.
Well, I was actually thinking, I wonder whatever this phenomena is, because I don't think it's little men in cars. I think that's what you see it as.
Right.
But it made me think of UFOs who change with time. They always seem to be, right, you know, slightly ahead of what our technology is. Maybe this was...
It's like the steampunk thing. It's
Yeah. So maybe this is their, whatever it is version of, like, just playing with it. It's really tricksterish, isn't it?
We've talked about this before, but if you go with that theory, they're really crap at getting it right. I know how we'll blend in. We'll turn our craft into a car and we'll dress up in all this gear. They'll be absolutely fine. But maybe that's where Noddy comes in. I've watched their TV. There are lots of people like this on the planet. We'll totally blend in. Yeah, it's going to be the perfect camouflage. You know, like they did on Star Trek when they kind of would go to ancient Rome or whatever, or some planet that was like ancient Rome, and they have to dress up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're obviously, these aliens, if that's what they are getting it really wrong.
Well, I particularly like the fact that they decide that they're going to park them all up like humans park their cars.
I was also thinking, from these stories, the British gnomes are a lot more friendly than the American ones. At least they're having a bit of fun and going around the park and rewarding you with feathers. It was almost like, remember, I don't know if they do them anymore. I remember when I was a kid, we used to go on them. You'd have those car kind of rally treasure hunt things. Did you ever do
one
of those?
Oh, yeah, I love doing those, yes.
Don't know if they still do them, but they were really good fun. This sounds like the gnome equivalent of that.
Maybe that is what they're doing. Maybe it is. I mean, it certainly beats eating fish and terrorising people.
Yeah.
But look, there's one final postscript to the Woollerton Park thing. As recently as 2016, gnome phenomena has been reported. There's a news report in the Park Herald that railways in the area were being haunted by the miniature humanoids, to the point that interrupted services on trains running from Nottingham Station to London St Pancras.
Brilliant.
One witness saw a gnome lurking around a train embankment, and all of a sudden he saw a glimpse of five of them tearing down the side of the embankment just after passing passing a checkpoint on the line. But this is all very close to Woollerton Park.
Good place to hang out, really, because not many people go on those. I know the trains are going past, but it would be a good habitat because you're not going to get disturbed that much because they're normally fenced off.
That's true. Yes. But it made me think, like, do they have a fascination with transport?
Yeah. I just wanted to hear we apologise for the late arrival of the 12:15. There is a gnome on the track.
I mean, it's close to that. You know, it's close to that. I just think it's so bizarre. And this idea, what intrigues me as much as the cars is the dressing up as a policeman.
Yeah.
It's not the only time that I found this report from Ballyroan, Ireland. A worker returning from home took a shortcut across a marshy field and watched several tiny men playing football. They told the worker to kick the ball, but he was unable to touch it. When he did finally kick the ball, the worker was knocked to the ground. When he recovered, the tiny footballers had vanished. But in his description, they're all wearing football strip.
You know what's going through my mind with these stories? I think it's interesting if you take the garden gnomes that you can buy at garden centres or various other places. That is a big theme of them, isn't it? They do come in different styles. So it wouldn't be strange to see a ornamental garden gnome in a policeman outfit or in a football kit or in a car. It's interesting that people are seeing real life versions of these in that form. So either, I guess you could see it two ways, but I'm going to go with the second one. The first one is that in somehow this real gnome culture is influencing our obsession with having these statues of them effectively in our gardens, mm-hmm, in different forms. But it seems more likely that because of the descriptions, somebody is, like you said, seeing something else, imagining something, hallucinating something, but putting it in the context of a statue that you would see in the back garden, which could come in the form of a football kit or a police outfit or in a car. That's interesting to me, really interesting.
I mean, the other thing that occurs to me is that maybe we're perverting nature spirits. I mean, like, maybe the nature spirits are so fed up of us causing pollution and ruining things, they're deciding, well, we'll get our own cars and we'll mess with the trains, you know, maybe.
Yeah. But if you go with my one for a little bit about somehow this influence, I was just, the other thing I was thinking, out of anything that we cover, maybe ghosts, UFOs are close, but if you take the gnome as some kind of spirit, paranormal creature, it's a huge success story because so many people have tributes or statues to them in their gardens. They're probably, gnomes are probably bigger than ghosts and UFOs and certainly anything else in fairy culture.
Well, they're not even considered paranormal when you put them in your garden. No,
but that's what I'm saying. They've crossed over. They're the ultimate.
Yeah, that's true.
They're the ultimate crossed over cryptid.
Yeah, that is true. That is very true. I hadn't really thought of it that way. Yes, that, them and
because people
Santa
don't put
Claus.
Them in their garden because they believe in the paranormal. People don't put them in their garden. Well, some people might. So, people don't put them in their garden because, you know, some tribute to gnome culture. It's just a cute thing that people do. It's become ubiquitous in that sense.
Yeah, I was told it was good luck, you know. But that was by an older person. Oh, you have just made me realise there is another gnome in there, the barrow-pushing gnome.
Yeah, that's a biggie. The fisherman, the barrow-pushing.
And evil.
Yeah.
And pipe-smoking. But yeah, that's very interesting. I hadn't really thought of it that way. But you know, the other one of our favourite explanations, maybe it's tulpas.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because they could be even, well, there's one to go with if we're really going to go out there, that actually these gnomes may be originated as a statue in the back garden, but have somehow, by some spiritual possession, have become real characters. That's why they look like they do, and why some of them have got cars and some of them are dressed in police uniforms.
That's why some of them are evil and some of them are nice as well.
Yeah.
Because they're different people's tulpas.
Yeah, that's interesting. Is there such a, I don't know, but it'd be, and actually if there's any listeners out there in the States, I mean, it's a big thing here, or it was gnomes, it still is to a certain degree, but having one in your garden's quite a big thing. Is that the same in America, do you know? And
I don't know, actually.
Can you let us know on the social? Because I don't know how gnome culture fits in. I mean, there was that movie, wasn't there? There was a, Elton John did the music for it, Gnomeo and Juliet.
Yes, that's true, yes.
Which was all about gnomes.
But yeah, so it must be familiar with people.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see if there's a similar attitudes to gnomes in America, because that would be interesting to see whether the stories in America are more kind of evil, cackling, bit more what I would call kind of mischievous leprechaun-y. Whereas our stories that you've covered today from Britain seem a bit more cutesy. And could that be because we have a more cutesy relationship with gnomes in our back garden? You know, the statue ones than they do in the States. I don't know. That's just an idea.
Oh, that's a very good thought. But I'm really fascinated by this. So I'd love to know, has anybody ever seen anything like this? I know every time I do something by fairies, I always say to our listeners, have you seen anything? And nobody's actually come forward yet, because I think they are pretty rare, these sightings, as noted by me being able to only find these sort of quite well-reported cases and then the other people on the fairy database. But I would really like to know if you've sort of, because you know this is a safe space, if you've maybe seen one and you weren't sure, share it, because I'm fascinated.
And if we go with my theory, or our theory of the tulpery type thing, fascinating to know if anybody thinks that they've seen their statue of a gnome in the back garden move.
Yes.
Or change position. Do you know what I mean? Hold on, that fishing rod was on the left yesterday. That'd be weird.
Oh, they come to life.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope that's true.
Can you imagine that? After midnight, maybe there's an hour or, you know, once every 4 or 5 years, the gnomes come to life, drive their cars, the policemen get a night off. Brilliant.
I'd love that if that was true. That's a movie in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, there's definitely something in it.
Right, we've come out of this episode with merch.
Merch and a movie.
Yes, we shall.
Or a kids TV series.
One of the three. It'll be a T-shirt, won't it?
Yeah, it'll be a T-shirt.
So that is what I found out about gnomes this week.
I like it when we do these slightly off-centres ones, because you want to try and pull it apart, but actually it's like, it's so fantastical that you've just got to run with it and go, somebody's seen something that's weird, whether it's really a gnome. But I like it. I like the British ones better because they're a bit more fun and cutesy. I don't like the idea of a gnome driving you out of your home that lives in the barn and eats cats, but...
That's gross, isn't it, eating the cat?
I love that idea of them having some, you know, wacky racing day. And, you know, those kids just came across it and there's like 20 of them having a race. That's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to find one of those children today, and because they'd be roughly our age.
Yeah.
And go, well, tell me, what did you see? Another author has tried to track them down. There's been subcontemporary conversations, but nothing that changes the story. But I just love to have, you know, a conversation with them over a pint and say, come on, tell me about the whole thing in detail, leave nothing out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's quite detailed anyway, saying there wasn't steering wheels. That's quite a lot of information.
Yeah. No, they did reveal a lot of information. A lot of it has been filled in by investigators sort of post, but...
Remote control cars and things like that have a bearing on this as well? You know what I mean? You know, with these things, I always think like mass hysteria events, if we go with it not being any kind of supernatural thing, it always comes back to that point. There must be some kind of trigger for it. So you could see a trigger where a bunch of kids came across a load of people playing with remote control cars that maybe even had a driver in it, and then the imagination went flying. I don't see how you walk into a swamp and suddenly come up with that otherwise.
No, I mean, but it said they made no noise. Radio control cars do make noise. They say they've got no means of steering. Some investigators, they theorise that the gnomes were steering by leaning. Right. Some of the children have suggested that. But more than anything, they left no tyre marks.
Right. Could be steering with foot pedals.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yes. Yeah. But they're jumping over logs and, you know, radio-controlled cars don't tend to be able
to... Yeah, they
don't
do that.
No, and they would fall over and, you know, you can tell a radio-controlled car... I mean, 20 big radio-controlled cars in 1979, they're going to be petrol-powered, really.
Yeah.
They'll make a noise.
Yeah, they will make a noise, won't they? Fascinating. What a great story that is. How bizarre.
I love it. And just go and, if you're fascinated at all, go and read the book. Dr. Simon Young has put it together. And if you do a Google search for it, you'll find it on academia.edu. The Woolerton Gnomes, a Nottingham Fairy Mystery.
So in the book, they're not saying it's a definite paranormal event. Are they just a bit agnostic about what it was?
He's just telling the story as was, yeah.
Yeah, he's not coming to a conclusion.
No.
Brilliant. Well, I'm conscious, Ben, that you have had to get through that on codeine and paracetamol, and you're looking a bit ropey there. So I think we should call it a day at this point. But my last words for you, Ben, are, haven't you got a gnome to go to?
Oh, that's very good. Actually, before we go, patreon.com/TQMpod, please join in there.
Yeah.
And feedback on the socials if you've seen anything.
Yeah, we want gnome encounters of any kind, because we'll come back to it, definitely.
Gnome encounters of any kind.
Great.
Close encounters of the gnome kind.
Kind, like it.
Oh, God, it's the drugs, I'm sorry.
All right, well, look, we will see you next week for more quantum mechanics weirdness. I'm not sure we can top gnomes driving around in cars, but we will try our best.
If you do find an evil cackle sound, can you cut it in here, please? Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Are you the quantum mechanics?